Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson, drum and bass edition, and we're doing something that separates I can make a loop from I can finish a record. Automation lane cleanup from scratch, using only stock Ableton devices. Because in DNB, automation is the lift, it's the tension, the drop control, the bass movement, the throws, the micro phrasing. But the reality is, once a project gets serious, your automation view turns into a crime scene. 30, 50, sometimes 100 lanes, conflicting moves, hidden clip envelopes, and that classic moment where you're like, why is this not hitting and the answer is buried in some lane you forgot existed. So today we're building a clean, readable automation architecture. The goal is simple. Fewer lanes, more impact, and you can understand your whole song's movement in seconds. Before we touch anything, set the scene. Set your tempo in the classic DNB pocket, 172 to 176. I'll use 174. Go to Arrangement View. Turn on Automation Mode with a key. Then set your grid to Fixed Grid. Usually 1/8 or 1/16 is perfect for DNB moves. Now do something that feels boring but changes everything. Locators. Put locators for a clean structure. Intro, 16 bars. Build, 16. Drop, 32. Break, 16. Drop 2, 32. Name them clearly. You're not just labeling the song. You're creating audit checkpoints. So when the automation gets heavy, you always know where you are and what the section is supposed to feel like. Now, quick mindset shift. We're going to work with an automation budget. Pick a number of lanes you're allowed per 32-bar drop. Seriously, this is how you stop automation from turning into clutter. For drums, 1 to 2 lanes, bus level only. For bass, 2 to 4 lanes, preferably macros rather than raw device parameters. For FX and Atmos, 1 to 2 lanes, ideally on returns or a group. If a section needs more than that, it's not a sign you should draw more. It's a sign you should re-architect, rack it, resample it, or move motion into modulation. Alright, step 1. Find and eliminate hidden conflicts. This is the number one cause of broken automation. DNB projects are notorious for automation fighting between clip envelopes, arrangement automation, modulation, duplicate lanes, and automation inside racks. So here's your conflict checklist. First, click clips and look in clip view under envelopes. If you see automation there, ask yourself, do I want this to be visible globally in the arrangement? If yes, move that idea into arrangement automation and clear the clip envelope. Clip envelopes are great for experiments, but they're also where automation goes to hide. Second, watch the top of the screen for that re-enable automation warning. If something sounds wrong, it's often because you tweaked a knob manually and now Live is ignoring the automation. Click re-enable automation and you're back to reality. Third, duplicates. Click the parameter you think you're automating, like auto filter frequency, then choose show automation in new lane. If you see multiple lanes for the same parameter, that's a red flag. You might have overlapping edits, or you wrote automation in two places and now you're hearing a weird average of decisions. Cleanup action. Choose one source of truth per parameter. My recommendation for DNB is this. Big arrangement moves live in arrangement automation. Internal motion. The stuff that makes a sound feel alive inside the bar can live in modulation style tools or in a rack macro that you automate cleanly. One clear driver. Now step 2 is the biggest upgrade. Convert messy parameter automation into a small number of macro lanes. This is the rack strategy. If your bass track has separate lanes for filter frequency, resonance, saturator drive, utility gain, compressor threshold, and more, you're basically writing a novel with 10 pens at once. Instead, we're going to put a control panel on the sound. Go to your bass channel. This could be wave eatable, operator, sampler, or even a resampled audio bass. Add an audio effect rack. Group it. Command or Control G. Inside the rack, build a stock chain. Start with auto filter. For DNB, LP24 is solid, or MS2 if you want that nasty resonant character. Then add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive somewhere like 3 to 8 dB, and turn soft clip on. Optionally, add redux for a little grit, but keep it subtle. Then utility at the end. Turn bass mono on so the sub stays locked. Now map it to macros. Macro 1. Bass LP sweep. Map it to auto filter frequency, but do the safe engineering with min and max ranges. Set the minimum around 80 to 120 Hz, unless you very intentionally want to choke the sub, and set the max in the 6 to 12 kHz range. Macro 2. Byte. Map it to saturator drive, maybe 3 to 9 dB. Macro 3. Air kill. This could be a utility gain that tucks the top and builds, or it could be a secondary filter range trick depending on your sound. The point is, one macro that reduces brightness or energy when you need control. Macro 4. Crunch. If you're using Redux, map down sample in a small range so it never destroys the tone by accident. Now instead of 5 plus messy lanes, you automate macro 1 and 2 for most of the song's movement. It's cleaner, it's faster, and it's easier to understand. Here's a classic DNB arrangement move with this setup. In the build, slowly raise bass LP sweep from around 200 Hz up to maybe 8 kHz. Then at the drop, snap it back down to around 1 to 3 kHz so it's heavy and controlled, not just white noise loud. And then inside the drop, add little ramps every 2 bars. That's the rolling phrasing. Micro gestures that keep the groove alive without adding new sounds. Now step 3. Clean the automation shapes themselves. Reduce points. Keep intention. If your lane looks like scribbles, you're not hearing all of that. You're seeing anxiety. Click the lane. Box select clusters of points. Delete them. Then rebuild with fewer anchors. For most DNB phrases, you want 2 to 6 points per phrase unless you're doing intentional glitch work. And don't sleep on curves. Hold Option on Mac or Alt on Windows and curve the segment. Curves are perfect for risers, tension ramps, and making your automation feel human instead of robotic. A good DNB rule. Builds often want an exponential curve. Slow at first, then fast. Drops often want fast, then settle. A quick snap, then a little glide into the groove. Now here's a readability hack that makes your projects instantly scannable. Phrase markers inside the automation lane. Put anchor points exactly on phrase boundaries. For a 32-bar drop, think bar 1, 9, 17, 25. Even if the lane is doing something complex, those anchors let your eye understand the shape immediately. And it prevents accidental drift where a curve slowly ends up in a different place over time. Step 4. Replace too many lanes with shared movement via return tracks. This is where a lot of DNB projects go wrong. Every track has its own reverb automation, its own delay automation, its own little throw. It's chaos. Instead, we make two strong returns and automate sends. It's cleaner and it sounds cohesive. Return A, call it dark verb. Put reverb on it. Set size around 35 to 60%. Decay around 2.5 to 5.5 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. Then low cut the reverb, somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. Keep the low end clean. Put EQ3 or EQ8 after to control mud. If you want, a light saturator after the reverb can thicken it. Return B, call it ping throw. Put echo on it. Time could be 1/8 dotted or 1/4. Feedback 25 to 45%. Filter it. High pass around 250 to 500, low pass around 5 to 8k. Then a utility after echo to manage return level. Now the cleanup strategy. Stop automating reverb dry wet on 12 tracks. Automate sends instead. Even better. Automate one group send. Drum group send. Effects group send. Vocal group send if you have it. Classic move. Last snare before the drop. On that snare, automate send B up from minus infinity to around minus 6 dB just for that hit. Then immediately back down. One lane, huge impact. And if your throws start washing out the mix, there's a clean stock fix. Make the return self-ducking. On the echo return, add a compressor after echo. Turn on sidechain. Sidechain it from the dry drum group or the lead source group. Duck 1 to 4 dB. Now you can throw harder without drowning the drop, and you don't need a bunch of microcorrective automation later. Step 5. Group tracks and automate at the bus level. Drum bus discipline. In DNB you might have breaks, tops, rides, ghost snares, layers on layers. If you automate each one, you'll never finish. Put them in a drum group. On the group, build a simple stock chain. Drum bus first. Drive somewhere like 5 to 20%. Crunch 0 to 20. But don't overdo it. Boom is optional. If you use it, keep it subtle and tuned around 50 to 60 Hz, and only if it actually helps the groove. Then glue compressor. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release auto or 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2:1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB gain reduction in the loudest sections. Then EQ 8 with a high pass at 25 to 35 Hz. Maybe a little dip around 200 to 400 if it's boxy. Then utility for final trim. Now, keep your drum automation lanes minimal but powerful. One lane could be drum bus drive or amount. Another optional lane could be glue threshold. And if you need overall impact control, utility gain. A great DNB move is this. In the build, slightly increase compression by lowering glue threshold a bit. Then when the drop hits, release it, less compression, so the drums punch harder. That sounds like the drop got bigger without you turning the whole mix up. Step 6. Tidy mutes and dropouts. A lot of automation mess comes from using volume curves as mutes, and then you're stuck later because you can't tell what's a creative mute and what's a mix correction. Best practice. If you want a hard silence, do it with clip editing. Split the clip, delete the piece. If you want a controlled fade, automate utility gain with a short ramp. And avoid automating track volume constantly unless it's a deliberate mix move. Track volume is your mix balance. If you automate it everywhere, you'll have no reference point later. Here's a clean DNB fill trick. 1 beat drum mute right before the drop, like bar 31 into 32. Cut the drum clips for 1 beat, and let only the reverb tail or an impact remain. It's dramatic, it's clean, and it doesn't add any automation scribbles. Also, quick safety note, don't rapidly automate device on and off. That's where clicks and pops happen. If you're tempted, put a utility after the chain and automate the gain with a 5 to 30 millisecond ramp. No clicks, and visually it's obvious what you're doing. Step 7. Standardize naming and visibility so future you wins. Color code groups. Drums in a warm color. Bass in darker green or blue. FX and Atmos in purple or gray. Rename the important macro lanes so your automation view reads like a story. Bass sweep. Bass bite. Drum bus drive. FX throw. And keep lanes collapsed unless you're actively editing them. The goal is that when you open automation view, your eye lands on the few lanes that matter. Here's a teacher rule that helps a lot. 1 featured automation per section. For example, the build is mainly bass sweep plus FX throw. The drop is mainly drum bus drive plus small bite pulses. You can still do detail, but the big identity moves should be obvious. Now step 8. Resample to commit and reduce automation overload. If a bass has 15 lanes of motion, consider printing it. Make a new audio track called Bass Print. Set input to resampling. Solo the bass group and record 8 to 16 bars. Then you can disable the heavy synth chain and keep the project light and readable. And now your automation becomes simple audio level moves, a filter, a send, a couple of edits. This audio version is shortened for playback.